If you are just joining us, you're on the third day of Smartest 2008 and the first day of our keynote presentations with Joan Stewart, who just left us, Jeffrey Gorman, who's coming up, and Waverly Fitzgerald after him. Jeffrey, hello. Are you on the line?
I am here.
Hi, Jeffrey. Jeffrey is an artist who has done and continues to do his homework. He's worked the gallery gauntlet. He's consulted with artists in Artist Cube Adventures, and last year had his artwork in six galleries. What has been your basic game plan this year, Jeffrey, in 30 seconds or less? Have you gone for more galleries, different galleries, more exhibitions? Where are you headed with your career?
Oh, that's a good question. Every day when you read the news, it kind of sends you in a different direction. It's a very challenging time right now. I'm trying kind of a scattershot approach. In other words, I'm trying to approach as many different types of outlets as I can, from my website to art consultants to gallery dealers to dealing with private clients directly. So it is really a scattershot approach for me right now.
Oh, boy, that was good. Thank you. Well, since you're in the trenches, I thought that would be a good question to toss out and let everybody hear. I'm really glad you're back.
It's funny, Ariane, because listening the other day to the various expert marketers on the call, myself being a scrambling artist right now, it's wonderful to have these various marketing strategies, but I'm finding the way the world is changing so quickly that you really need to be on top of trends, of areas where the market might be hot, of things like that, and then you need to jump on them. What I'm finding is that artists need to be opportunists. That's a broad statement, but we need to jump on opportunities when they arise and jump on them very quickly.
Yes, Jeffrey, I agree. That's exactly why I created Smartest in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Was to let artists know all the different types of marketing strategies.
Right, to try to bring in those people outside the artist universe who can enlighten us as to what's going on so that we can actually apply it.
Yeah, and I've heard some terrific tips. One thing I think artists really need to do now is to learn how to juggle. It's funny, what I'm finding, and I didn't used to coach artists this way, is that you need to be pretty aggressive. I mean, as I said the other day, it's not for the meek and mild. People are not going to find us. And, of course, today's topic is art consultants, what I refer to as the hidden resource, because there are hundreds and hundreds of art consultants all around the United States, and all they're doing is placing artwork. They're buying it from artists. They're placing it in various situations. And so for artists who want to make money, it's not for the fame and the glory, because you're not going to get written about. You're not going to, get any attention. For artists who want to make money, art consultants can be a good way to supplement your income.
Oh, I can't wait to hear this, Jeffrey. Okay, I'm going to let you take it away, and then we'll come back for a 15-minute break after you're through.
Okay, and I got two questions that I was going to try to, within the last 5 minutes, cover those questions, because questions are a great
fantastic
way to look at material.
Great. One of them, just to give you a heads up, one of them Joan also got. I was curious to see her take on it. So if you're hearing the same question twice, folks, it's because I wanted both of these experts' perspectives.
Okay.
And, you're on day three.
Do I sound loud enough?
Yes, you do. You're perfectly clear today. Thank you.
Okay.
I just want to let the artists know, if they've just joined us, that they are on day three of the Smartest Telesummit, but the first day of keynotes. And we're here with Jeffrey Gorman and ready to take it away, Jeffrey.
Great. Thanks, Ariane. So what we're going to talk about today is art consultants. And for those of us that have been in the art world for many, many years, they also might have been referred to in, 20 years ago, they were called designers. But now art consultants are everywhere. We're seeing them called different things these days. We're seeing them, if you pick up the Artist and Graphic Designers Handbook, which is a resource I use for tracking down art consultants, they refer to them in there as art reps. Some people refer to them as private dealers. I've seen that architects will place art. I've seen that socialites will place art, people that are well placed socially and that like to make things happen. An art consultant to me is basically somebody that is placing art in they're purchasing it from the artist, and they're placing it in either a private or a public setting. So when I use the term art consultant, you can see it's a pretty broad term that I'm referring to. So when you all are kind of doing the research, because a lot of this is researching and properly identifying who these people are, it may be a funny configuration of what they are. I mean, I've heard every different story in the book. In Los Angeles, I heard about a guy who was basically a socialite that liked to go to parties, talk about art, try to sell the art, try to place it with the people in the parties. And, hey, that works for me. So art consultants are, they're the middlemen. They're kind of the interpreter between the artist and the art world. And remember, they're not the gallery dealer. In other words, they're not showing your art in a public setting for the most part. Now, you know, for every rule, there are 10 that break it. So, and there are tons and tons of them, you all. What I believe is this. I believe for ambitious artists that there are actually more opportunities out there for us than we can get to. And that's why in classes like this and seminars, it's wonderful for us because we can break out these various marketing strategies and then pursue them and not get overwhelmed by how many opportunities there are out there. Obviously, the goals in, for me, I can tell you all, my number one goal is to make money and to support myself at creating my art. So art consultants are a good resource for artists, and this is really important, you all, who are prolific, who are making a lot of work, because it's a numbers game. You're going to see by the end of today's class, I'm going to ask you all to do a lot to track down the appropriate audience. And it's a numbers game. I mean, can you do contact 10 of these? Can you contact 20, 30, 40? Because we're going to find that a lot of them you get no's. And the no doesn't mean that your art is incorrect. The no means that maybe the research was not appropriate. So anyways, what are art consultants? We've kind of talked about, they're basically in there. They're selling to places like maybe hospitals, hotels, corporations, restaurants, resorts. In the Southwest, the Rocky Mountains, a lot of resorts are buying work. Big thing in the Southwest now is casinos. Casinos are purchasing a lot of work. It's quite amazing. I was just involved with a casino out in San Diego, and their budget for, I think it was something like $500,000 a year for original pieces of art in their lobby. It was very interesting to see. So they're everywhere, you all, these art consultants, people that are placing the artwork. And again, it's just kind of getting familiar with them, figuring out who they are, and then knowing what they want. So that's what art consultants are, is they're these middlemen, basically. Now, who are they, and how to research and find them? So I'm on to topic number two here. You know, you all, I think this is one of the harder areas in finding them. Now, the tip I gave you all in the handout here is, and again and again and again, I think it's your number one tip, your best resource for finding art consultants is a tip from another artist. Recently, I ran into an artist who basically is working around the world now, and he started mentioning to me some of the art consultants he was working with, and I'd never heard of these people. There was one person in Dallas. There was somebody in New York. There was and basically, he was not even working with galleries or anything like that. His art consultants were selling all the work that he was creating. Now, you all, this guy was making monotexts. He was making prints. He's a printmaker. He's very prolific. For those of you that do prints, some prints you can do 5 in a day. So it's a really a numbers game in terms of having that inventory. So you all, you can see your artist network, the network that you set up of ambitious, active, prolific artists is very, very important for you as you go out and you research. And usually when artists ask me a question, how should I start this research, I usually say to them, start with your artist network and brainstorm. Now, maybe you have an art consultant that you've worked with that might be appropriate for one of your friends. You know, it's always a give and a take in sharing tips with them. Now, for those of you maybe that haven't set up this really active network, that you're really getting going on a lot of this, how else do you find them? My best way in finding them is through the internet, but having had 2 internet businesses, I'm pretty familiar with researching on the internet, and I explained the other day that recently I did a little art consultant strategy, and I found one website on the internet, and honestly, I don't know what it was, but it had all the art consultants. It had probably 400 art consultants around the United States on this website. And having been a gallery dealer, I was familiar with some of the names. Some of the art consultants were the largest ones in the United States. A couple of art consultants that come to mind. There's Fresh Paint out in Los Angeles. There's in Boston, I think it's called Boston Corporate Art. It's not the one that went out of business. It's kind of another one. And you all, in terms of art consultants, they're usually found in major, major cities. Because think what an art consultant is. You talk about the entrepreneurial spirit. An art consultant is somebody that's kind of making something happen from nothing. In other words, they're going out there finding opportunities to place the art. That's through connections, through socializing, through business networks, through they're not really advertising their services per se. If they were, we could just look in any publications and see all these art consultants. So they're usually very, I don't know if aggressive is the right word, very professional services, because it's tough, you all. What they're doing is they're convincing people to buy artwork. So these art consultants are a very ambitious bunch of people, and it's usually in an urban setting. The bigger the city, the more art consultants you'll find, because obviously the reason for that is there are more opportunities where there's more of a population. Now, there is one website that I go to for a lot of different reasons. It's called art-collecting.com. They have, it's probably the main site that I use for research on the internet. It does have art consultants, but a couple other resources, because what we're trying to find right now is a list of art consultants. The Art in America Gallery Guide that comes out every August has a list of art consultants. TheGuild.com, if any of you get their books, the last book I got had a list of probably 50 art consultants in the back of it, in the back. There are various lists you can buy at artmarketing.com. You can buy their mailing list of art consultants. So you can see there are a lot of research tools out there. Now, in picking up publications, let's say Southwest Art, Art in America, Sculpture, any magazine that's appropriate to the medium that you're working in, occasionally art consultants will advertise the artist that they're promoting. I say occasionally. I've seen it where one artist will maybe have an ad, and underneath it will be listed three different art consultants that are promoting that artist's work. So you can see a lot of this is doing your research. And so number one, we're going to start with our network. Number two is we're going to start with the internet. Number three is we're going to start with the trade publications that are appropriate for the type of work that we're doing, the type of imagery that we're doing. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit more. It was funny, you all. I did this whole marketing strategy with art consultants that I talked about the other day. I can't remember how many I ended up contacting at the end. And out of all of my work, I got one art consultant that I started a dialogue with. And it's funny, right before I came on the call, I emailed her with some new images, and she was all excited about my work. But I called another artist after I had done this little marketing strategy. And before I said anything, she said to me, art consultants aren't interested in the type of work you're doing. And I said, how did you know that? And she said, well, I've been working with them for years, and your imagery is, it's too specific, it's too intense, it's too in your face. It's not going to go into a somewhat generic, you know, setting where it's not going to offend anybody. And it was very funny. I found this out through all the no's that I got. But then I talked to this artist who knew the system, and right away she said to me, amazed you even got one. So that artist kind of network and feedback can get you to the point pretty quickly. Okay, so we're going on to number three, finding the right one for you. In other words, you're researching. You've maybe got your list of 30. Now, how do you find, and you all went in talking about art consultants, we're talking exactly the same thing you're going to do to research a gallery, maybe to research publications that are appropriate for you to send the press release to. All these, there's this real common kind of, and at the end I'll break this down into the five steps you need to take to set up a marketing strategy, which is the same for consultants as galleries. But you're starting to research them. Now, not everybody is the right fit, and I think one of the biggest mistakes that artists make is they assume that just because they found the person, whether it's the gallery or the art consultant, they're going to want their art. The next most challenging thing is to find out if your work, if your price structure, if the amount of work you're doing, if your attitude, whatever, is appropriate for that art consultant. So once you track them down, we're really lucky now because most of this can be done on the web, on the internet. Most of these consultants have pretty extensive websites because what they're hoping is, they're hoping you'll do the homework before you approach them. In other words, for them to be approached by artists where the work isn't appropriate for them is labor for them, and it takes time, and a lot of them are very nice and they may spend time with you, but you know, they really want the people that have done their homework ahead of time. In other words, when you approach an art consultant, you want to be able to say to them, I looked at your site, maybe you contacted one of their artists that they're working with. I do believe strongly that the imagery that I'm creating is appropriate for the audience that you're working for, because some of these art consultants, I know there's some that just work in the healthcare industry, in other words, hospitals, probably that type of an area is where they're placing the work, so they're looking, and I don't know for sure, but they're looking maybe for non-objective imagery. Maybe it's color field, maybe it's abstract, maybe it's pattern making, maybe it's collage, I don't know. So when you get on the site, I believe the first thing you want to do is click on the artists that they're already working with, and that's going to give you a really good idea of, on a couple of levels, what they're doing. First of all, it might be price point. You may be familiar with some of these artists, and if not, Google their names. Maybe they have a website or they're at various galleries. You're going to get a sense of what their price structure is. You're going to get a sense of what mediums they're working with. Obviously, you're going to get a sense of what imagery they're interested in. Some art consultants are just interested in monumental sculpture for public, you know, public commissions. I ran into quite a few of them that were really going for the high dollar projects, and they were putting projects together all over the world. Now, obviously, someone like myself, and you know, just to tell you who I am an emerging artist, which basically means nobody knows about me. Maybe my mother, maybe my wife. That's about it. There's no knowledge of my work, so I'm an emerging artist, which means unknown. These people were not handling that type of work, so I crossed them off my list. So what you're doing here is you're finding the best one for the type of work and where you are in your career, which is price structure, so that you're not wasting your time. You're not wasting your time, and you're not wasting their time. Obviously, if you've got your artist network, you know, they can tell you right off the bat, well, they, you know, they like digital images. The last time I worked with them, they and some of this is getting almost into licensing, which I know Michael Woodward is covering in great detail. When they start buying images from you, I had one artist who she did the original piece, the art consultant bought it, and then they licensed it and produced, I think, about 50 images of the original piece for hotel rooms. That starts getting into licensing, but that is an art consultant that you're working with. Other artists can tell you their experiences that they've had with these art consultants. So the other thing to do is, besides the artists they work with, is look at their client list. A lot of them will have some of the clients they've worked with, and you get a really good sense of what their mission statement might be. Again, this is really important for you before you're even approaching them. To find out who's appropriate for. Now, you all, what I'm asking you to do also is be very self-aware of who you are, why are you doing this, how much art can you make, what are your goals in doing this. I mean, I believe a goal should be to make money. If it's making money, then you'd better plan on being pretty prolific. You know, one thing I know about art consultants is they're a funny bunch in the sense that it seems to me there are two types of contact that you're going to get. You're going to get the initial contact is going to be the, which to me is not really worth anything, is great, send us your folder, we'll keep it on file for future projects. That one's kind of a long shot. I mean, that one, if they haven't really responded to the work, there are no projects, anything like that, that may or may not pay off. The second thing I found is art consultants are constantly going and looking for new artists because they're working on a variety of projects. So the second type of art consultant you run into is the real hot lead, the one that's really excited about your work, about your price structure, about your enthusiasm, and they may within months have a project where they want you to send work, send images, do a sketch, whatever. You're obviously looking for that second type of lead, which is the hot lead, the people that are really excited about your work. So keep in mind that art consultants are constantly looking for work, for new projects, for whatever. all of us go through cycles where what I found with art consultants is sometimes they'll work with artists and the artist may drop out for some reason, whether life gets in the way, whatever. So they are looking for that next hot artist to work with. So the second type of lead, and you all, as you start doing this, you'll start seeing this very clearly as to the two types of, contact you get with the consultant. So, moving on to number four here, and I'm looking at the clock, just making sure that I'm going to cover everything here. So number one is you figured out who they are. Number two is you've done the research, and the research is really critical. Number three is you pared the research down to find out, let's say it's people that do works on paper, or people that do originals, or people that handle watercolor, or people that handle animal imagery, or people that handle objects, or people that you're researching and specializing as much as you can. This is exactly the same way you're researching a gallery. Now, remember out there, each art consultant has a different kind of marketing service that they offer. They're not all the same. They're very specialized. So I'm asking you all to be very familiar with the type of work that you're doing and your appropriate art audience. So you need to be very comfortable with understanding where your work fits into the marketplace. Okay, so after number three is number four is making the contact. You've researched them. You've got your list. You've figured out who you believe is appropriate for the type of imagery that you are creating or the type of work that you're creating. If possible, and this is a really tough one, if possible, you want to speak to them. It would be really nice to speak to somebody in person. You know, the internet is terrific, but I've done all these different internet strategies in contacting galleries, contacting museums, contacting art consultants, contacting the buyers. And the one problem with the internet is it's really easy for someone to delete your email without ever even acknowledging that they've gotten it. And so what I recently did was when I found these live art consultants, I called them. And a lot of them on the internet will, they don't want you to call them. But I called a couple of them and I just kind of threw myself at their mercy. Hey, I'm new at this. I do show at these couple of galleries. I'm not working with any art consultants. What do you want? Now, hopefully you're going to get a live person. It's tough these days with voicemail and all of that. And again, so if possible in the making contact, if you can call them. I was lucky with the one art consultant that I got a response from for my most recent strategy. I did it through email. As soon as she emailed me back acknowledging that the work was appropriate for her business, I called her on the phone because I wanted that human touch. And I wanted that, I think sometimes we can get really lazy with not having to step up to the bat. Now, I'm very passionate about what I do, and I know that one of my best sales techniques is the passion that I can bring to my work when I talk about it. I mean, if anybody shows the least interest in my work, I'm gone. You know, I'm just telling them the stories, and because I found that people really respond to that kind of personal touch. So whenever possible in making contact, if you can call them and speak to a real person in person, I believe that it's terrific. Now, anyways, let's say not. Let's say, the website says no calls, you call, there's just voicemail, there's really no point in leaving. Hey, I'm so-and-so, would you call me back? I'm an artist wanting to submit work. They're not going to call you back. What you want to do is you want to find out how they want to view your work. Now, many of their websites will tell you exactly how they want to review portfolios because they want to make this as efficient and cost-effective for them as possible. They are constantly looking for new work, but they're reviewing a lot of material. So it's a case where you want to follow their instructions as specifically as you can. Now, I'm going to generalize a little bit here for you all because I believe that as each one of you does this research, you shouldn't be sloppy about it. You need to research each contact as much as possible. But in my overview recently, this is what I found, generally speaking, they wanted. They wanted your biography and resume as an attachment to an email. That's what I found. They said they wanted a one or two paragraph statement in the body of the email just saying why you were contacting them And if you had done any commissioned work or worked with any other art consultants before, now, the thing that I did in there is I tried to name drop, in other words, what I said, because I'd never worked with art consultants, I mentioned the galleries that I worked with so that they would have the sense that I had, you know, a little bit of experience. Now, the other thing they said was to attach from maybe 5 to 10 images inside the email, in other words, you know, write in it. You all, I'm on AOL, and they format your digital files in a really low JPEG that fits right inside the email that will open up when the email opens up. I don't know with some of you if your, you know, your browsers do that for you. So unfortunately, I only know how to do it in AOL, and they kind of do it for me. But obviously, you don't want an email with real dense attachments that are going to take a long time to open. You don't want images that take a long time to open in the body of the email. You want the email to open up as soon as they click on it. Some, you know, mistakes are made when there's too many graphics in there. So learn how to do that so that they open up the email, their images right inside the email that they can take a look at. Then the other thing they asked for was a real clear link to your website, is what they asked. And that's what I found they were, and I'm generalizing you all, That's what I found that most of them were asking for in terms of contact. So you can see that you're being asked to do a couple of things here. One thing you're being asked to do is produce really good photographs of your work. That's just a given. I mean, that's, you know, nobody can harp on that too much. The photography has to be of a really high quality because they're going to be looking at it. And most of us can do that ourselves now with digital cameras and some of the software that is available out there. Most of us can take good enough photographs ourselves digitally. So invest in a pretty good digital camera. And, you know, I have a camera, I think it's a Nikon, that came with a real basic software program to edit. So I don't even have to use Photoshop. And it shows me how to also put it into a small enough JPEG that goes right inside the email. So you've got to have your resume and bio together. You've got to have your photography together. You've got to have your pricing system together. You've got to be – so I'm moving on to number 5, be prepared. It's funny with art consultants. One thing is, if you're not prepared, it's almost like they know it. You know, it's always like people know where our weakest link is, and that's where they contact us first. One artist I know was doing this, but she never got her pricing system together. So she sent out these emails, and an art consultant called her, and he said, I've got this client. I need you to Federal Express by tomorrow a packet for me. And she didn't have her pricing structure together. So be prepared before you do any of this. Have your pricing together. Have your visuals together. Have your support material, updated resume, everything like that. What I ask you in here as a test is the artist that I found that they basically can put a comprehensive packet together within an hour or less. In the old days, it was getting the packet together, waiting for Federal Express and sending it off. Now what I'm finding is often it's just digitally over the Internet. And one thing I try to pride myself in is having all of my material in better shape than most other artists, because if it comes down to it, they're going to take the person that has, you know, clean photographs, clean imagery, things like that. So in thinking about all of this, I need to work with artists that are working with art consultants that are really organized and prepared. You know, pricing is a major, major thing with art consultants. They're wheeler dealers, and I can guarantee you all. Somebody asked me, they said, what's the commission structure with galleries? And I said, it's anywhere from 10% to 100%. The consultant that's interested in my work is basically wanting 50% on any sale she makes of my work. So she's getting the exact same split as a gallery dealer is getting. But she's not even showing the work. She's not promoting it. All she's doing is selling it. And in a way, to me, that seems like a lot of money for a little bit of work. But you all, you know, if I want to work with her, I have to be ready to work with her price structure. So, and for those of you that are doing prints, that are doing editions, things like that, you know, you're going to want, set this up beforehand. Have your grid. You know, if you buy 1 to 5 pieces, you get X amount off. If you buy 5 to 10, you get X amount off. If you buy 10 to 20, you get this. Get your pricing structure set up before you contact the art consultant. because I can guarantee you they're going to wheel and deal you. They're going to tell you Federal Express, two pieces out to my client, then you will have given them a discount if they bought two pieces. They're going to come back to you and say, we want to buy the one piece, but we want the discount you talked about for the two pieces. So they're going to, because they make more money by the discount they get off of you, and then they mark it up on their end. And our consultants will price things any way they want to. And often you don't even know what they're eventually selling your piece for, the retail price. So it can be a pretty kind of wheeler-dealer world. So we're at number five, being prepared. I'm just looking at my notes here. Things like, and this is coming to a question that somebody had asked me that I got via email. Pricing is very critical for art consultants. Now, what I'm finding with emerging artists is art consultants are looking for low prices. Now, that's one of the reasons I said to you all, a good artist type to work with art consultants is someone who's prolific. Because I believe for those of us who are prolific, I'm a very prolific artist. I produce a lot in a year. That allows me to keep my prices down, is what that does. So the more prolific I am, I believe the more reasonable my prices are, and therefore I'm hoping in that formula the more sales I can make. So be careful about pricing, you all. One of the quickest ways for an art consultant to pass you up is that your pricing is too high. So I say in here under $1,000. Yeah, I mean, we're talking hundreds of dollars here in pricing for, let's say, for an original piece of art. I mean, there's not a lot of glory in this, I can tell you. This is like the hard-nosed, to me, part of the art business world is working with consultants. In other words, they're kind of like the bottom of the food chain in terms of the money that you're going to make with them. As you become more of a, let's say, a mid-career artist or somebody like that, you're going to start setting those prices. You're going to be starting to get really good prices for your work, but most of us don't have that leverage right now. As I say, those emerging artists, which basically means we're unknown. I talk about the commission here. I've covered that pretty much, but so be prepared beforehand. Have this all organized, because best case scenario is you contact or send out the packet, and literally within hours they start calling you, and they'll say to you, you know, we've got this client and we need the packet right away, and what is your price structure? And if you're not organized, man, they're going to go, next, because there are a lot of artists out there that are pretty hungry and pretty aggressive about all of this. So number six is I talk about the rewards. Obviously, the rewards, and this kind of circles back to what the artist I mentioned to you all right at the beginning of this class, the artist who's making his living from working with art consultants all around the country. And when I saw him the other day, I said, are you showing with any commercial galleries at all? And he said, no, because my art consultants, basically, this is what he's doing, you all. He's creating work. He's taking photographs of it. He's sending it to the art consultants, and they're placing the work from his digital photographs. So he said to me that he has this list of, I don't know exactly how many people, but every couple of weeks, that list, he'll send out the images of the new work. And he said that most of that is being purchased, you know, by the time he's completing it, so he doesn't really have enough for a gallery. He doesn't have enough to have a show somewhere. Now, remember in your goals, I mean, if some of you are wanting fame and acknowledgement and write-ups in national publications and getting selected for museum collections and things like that, art consultants aren't for you. All they're doing is they're buying and placing art. They're not showing it. They're not getting it reviewed. You all, supposedly art consultants do, some of them will consult with museums for museum collections, so you never know. But you can see, for those of you that kind of, we've done this checklist in going through here, if you fit the bill, in other words, if you know, you're prolific, your prices are really aggressive, you're organized, you're really thorough, you know, you. One thing I always find with artists is the ones that never return the phone calls, or it takes a week to return the email. You know, you're right on top of it. You're a business person about this. I believe that you can find a lot of people out there that are going to be great contacts for you to sell your work. So overall, you all, I've come up with this five-step 5 steps to to basically set up a marketing strategy to work with art consultants. Number one is research. We talked about that quite a bit, and we talked about some tools and things that you start getting familiar with. Number two is the contact. If possible, you want the contact in person, but you want them to remember who you are. I mean, one thing I try to do whenever I contact people is somehow I try to use humor in my dialogue with them so they'll remember me, so that they'll realize, hey, maybe I could have a, you know, a good time with this person. I'm trying to be memorable in everything I do because there's so many people out there doing this that you want to be memorable. So number two is the contact. Number three is sending out the packet or the email contact or the whatever they're asking for. You know, one thing I tried to do with an art consultant was when they went to look at my website, I tried to get them on the phone so we could walk through the website together. That didn't work, but that would have been nice. So number three is send out what they ask you to send out. Big mistake artists make is they send material that the gallery doesn't, the consultant doesn't work. They don't want to see work from 20 years ago. They don't want to see a series that's already sold and unavailable. They don't want to see when you were experimenting. They want to see what's available, what's for sale, what they can show their clients. So that's number three is send out what they want. Number four is, it's funny, these steps get more critical as we go along. Number four is the follow-up. Follow-up, did you get the packet? Is the work appropriate? If not, try to get some feedback. I mean, if it didn't work out, you know, we're constantly learning here. Why didn't it work out? Your pricing's too high, your imagery's incorrect, your photographs were terrible, your resume, you haven't done enough for our clients to, you know, they only invest in people that have had one solo museum show. We're constantly learning, and if possible, you want to get that feedback. So follow-up. Now, follow-up also might be the, this is great, send us more. It might be keep us on the mailing list. We're working on a project in 3 months. You're going to go, great, I'm going to contact you in 3 months. And number five is do it again. This is probably the step that I found that creative people are the weakest on, is the follow-up, is the continuing, is the doing it again. I told you all right before this class that I emailed this consultant who had said to me to keep her updated, and it's been about 3 months since I spoke to her, and I was just hoping she remembered who I was. Because 3 months is a long time for an art consultant. They've dealt probably with hundreds of artists. So I emailed her with new images, and she said, wow, Jeffrey, it's really neat work. You're having a show in February. I want to come to Santa Fe and see the show. And that's like, you know, there's no question of her buying work, but we're starting to get the dialogue going here. And who knows where that is. Some of these people, it's a real long-term kind of setting up the relationship. Some it might be right away they want to purchase something. I'm in this for the long term. I mean, I can't say, you know, in 1 year if this doesn't work out, I'm going to get a real job and become a realtor. I'm doing this stuff, and I'm kind of doing it no matter what. So setting up long-term relationships for me is just fine where we're starting to, you know, really become familiar with each other. So in the five steps, the number five, do it again. In other words, that's where your mailing list comes in. That's where your email contact list comes in. That's where your newsletter comes in. Your mailing out your postcards comes in. Your mailing list is critical here. So you're going to have a mailing list where one section of it is just art consultants. And you're going to keep them updated. Those people that showed any interest in your work at all, you're going to keep them updated, and you're looking for excuses to contact them on a regular basis. Now, Ariane, it looks like we have about 5 minutes, so I was going to answer these questions. The first question I have here is, original works of art in corporate offices, major hospitals, my prices would need to be pretty high, equivalent to what, and I don't know if this is the question you all heard before, at least what a medium-tier gallery would want to handle. So I've kind of dismissed this idea till later. Is my impression right? That this is a venue for mid-career artists who are doing well, not emerging artists. Now, you all, the way I would answer that is there's an art consultant for every type of artist, just as there is a gallery for every type of artist. If we, in Santa Fe, where we have over 200 galleries, there are galleries for artists who are basically hobbyists. There are galleries for emerging artists, which means maybe their work isn't as consistent. Maybe they haven't found that vision. Their prices are very, very reasonable. There are galleries for different types of medium. There's a gallery and an art consultant for just about every type of artist that there's out there. So the way I would answer that question is, there are art consultants that are placing higher end work, the mid to top dollar work that this artist is maybe talking about. Then there are art consultants who really want the emerging artist because the price point is so good. And they're really looking for the undiscovered artist. So don't pigeonhole it and say art consultants only handle this type of work. As you all start getting better and better at research, you're going to see that there's an art consultant for every type of work out there. I think it's funny. Sometimes we can kind of pigeonhole ourselves and then realize that we're really wrong. Okay, here's the next question. During the past 18 years, I saw the prices of my work go up steadily. This person's creating abstract paintings that go from $3,000 to $6,000. But I'm stumped about online promotion. First, does online promotion make sense given for the fact that I'm not a mass market artist to devote any time to blogging, social networking, etc.? This is an interesting question. I've gotten tons of traffic on my website, but a review in the Artist magazine, but it sounds like, but nothing has resulted in a sale as far as I know of. Interesting question, because I've been doing this for 3 years. I have a website. I've had very similar reactions. In other words, I've had a bunch of people contact me. As of yet, I have not turned that. I've turned it into one sale for $35 is basically what I've done. So, you know, the expense of my website is probably $200 a year, you can see. A website has a lot of different tools. One tool is for art consultants to go to it. Another one is for artists to go to it. Another one is theoretically for clients to go to it. A lot of us are not converting that into clients. It's a virtual brochure or portfolio is what it is. It's not necessarily a hard sales tool. It's a soft sales tool. In other words, you don't have the portfolio under your arm. You have it on the internet, and at any time, day or night, people can go in and see your work. So I don't think there's any point in doing a lot of mass marketing of your website if so far you're not really seeing that convert into sales. And a lot of us spend too much time trying to do marketing schemes that really don't pay off. So I hope that answers that question. I mean, I wouldn't advertise the site. I wouldn't, keep it updated. Start getting email addresses from people. Use it as your portfolio. That's basically what websites are right now.
And Jeffrey, aren't they also a really good place to start to collect a database of people who are interested?
Yeah,
so that you can create the follow-up strategy that does eventually can lead into sales.
Yeah, it can. And the more advanced artists are doing that. And so on your website, you obviously want to sign up for my free email newsletter where I'll tell you about shows, special events, limited editions, whatever's going on with you. So it does become a great way for your visitors to come in and sign the guest book.
Oh, thank you, Jeffrey. This information was just pure gold.
Oh, well, cool.
I was hanging on every word.
I kind of raced along, but
it was great. You got a lot in, and it sounds like you got the core in that will really help artists to move themselves forward. Thank you so much.
Okay,
it was great having you participate in Smartest for the second year.
Well, it's fun. Hopefully, I'll be there next year.
All right. Well, take care of yourself today.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. You are on the third day of Smartest 2008, and this is our first day of keynote presentations. We've had Joan Stewart and Jeffrey Gorman, and we're going to be with Waverly Fitzgerald after our 15-minute break, which is going to start now. So do come back in 15 minutes, and Waverly will get us started on how to keep friend our best time.